Welcome to Tabletop Tommies. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Phil.
And today we're talking about the armies of Poland. One of the better miners, I would say. What do you think, Phil?
Definitely one of the better miners. You don't see them very often, although I think I have seen them a few times in the last few months, maybe more so than certainly the last year before that.
Yeah, it's not one that I see in every single tournament, but if I was betting on a miner being at a tournament, Poland's the one that I would bet on because the cavalry in it. Everyone loves a horse.
Yeah, especially at the moment. Cavalry seem to be a thing, don't they?
Yeah, it seems to be the day of the horse at the minute. So let's jump into the special rules then.
Yep, so as with a lot of the armies, there are three special rules. We start with communication breakdown, which is very similar to the other minor nations that we're going to be covering or have covered. Caught unprepared by the Blitzkrieg, the old-fashioned defensive doctrines and organisational build-up of this army means that the enemy has often the initiative. And in game terms, this means that in the first turn of the game, if the first order die drawn from the cup is one of yours, the enemy can decide that the dice is put back into the cup and a new order die is drawn instead.
Yeah, fairly irrelevant as a national characteristic, I would say. Mm-hmm. The only thing I would say to be aware of is if you are planning that sniper duel where you're going to deploy facing the opponent's sniper, there's a good chance you're not going to get to shoot first, and so it's probably one to avoid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But other than that, the first order dice of the game rarely affects me at all.
Yeah, especially if you're playing a mission where you've got things like in reserve or outflanking and you're going to be doing the down game, like you say, unless you really want their first dice to get that sniper shot off, you're probably not too bothered about it.
Exactly.
Second rule is no hope of retreat. So Polish units were frequently surrounded by their enemies with no hope of escaping. With no other option, soldiers were forced to fight to the last man. And in game terms, this means that whenever a Polish unit fails a morale check and would otherwise be destroyed as a consequence, take the test again and apply the second result. This reroll applies to all units facing this situation, including infantry, artillery, and vehicles that suffer an on-fire damage result.
This is their good rule, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, this is the one that makes them good against flamethrowers, makes them a little bit more hardy on holding objectives. Of the three that they've got, this is the one that I think you have to make sure you remember.
Yeah, and obviously it's very similar to the Soviet rule. You see it in the Free French and the North Africa selector, and it is a really useful thing to have in your back pocket.
Yeah.
So the final one is elite officer class. Polish officers were very highly trained and indoctrinated to the highest degrees of nationalism, and this means that all Polish HQ units are fanatics, as described in the main bolt action rulebook.
Yeah, I know I said the first one was a bit pointless, but this one is truly pointless.
Well, I've been thinking about this, and bearing in mind that intelligence officers are now generic, what you mm-hmm. could do, if you've got the points, is make your little three-man HQ section, all armed as modelled with SMGs, pay the extra point for your intelligence officer, so you now get a four-man HQ section, and then you've got a four-man fanatic tough fighter section, which could be pretty useful for defending along your back line if you've got any cheeky outflank going on, running onto a objective towards the end of the game, or taking out that unit that's been whittled down during the course of the game by your other units. So yeah, it's not as good as the second one, but I don't think it's terrible. But it is going to be situational depending on how you build your army and have you got the points left over to make that little four-man squad of your HQ.
Yeah, I suppose so, because you have fanatic control, you're down to one man, don't you?
Yes. Yeah.
So in combat, I suppose, you can afford to lose two of them before you lose your fanatic.
Yeah, if you're only taking a single lieutenant because you have to and you're not going to bulk out the squad, then yeah, it's pointless. But if you're going to use the fact you get fanatic for free and then bulk out that HQ unit to a three or four man, it could be beneficial.
So that's all the special rules. What about the headquarters units? Anything exciting in there, Phil?
No, nothing exciting. It is very much as you'd expect for a headquarters selection. So you've got your officer, your different levels of lieutenant, captain, and major. You've got a medic, you've got a forward observer. And then obviously with the recent campaign books, you can add in your chaplain and your intelligence officer as well.
Fair enough. Not a lot of exciting stuff in the headquarters there, but I mean, you've got everything you need, an experienced second lieutenant.
Yep.
So I guess we'll move on to the more exciting infantry choices then.
So the infantry choices, you have slightly more options than Norway did when we did the Norway episode, but not a huge amount more.
Nice.
So you've got your basic infantry section. Now, interestingly, this comes as a compulsory 10-man unit as a regular for 100 points.
Yeah, and you can't take it up to about 19 men, can't you?
You can add an additional 9 men. So, yeah.
That's a proper horde, isn't it?
That is a proper regular horde, one of which can take a BAR as well.
Yeah, not a lot of... I don't know what those 19 men are really going to do. Because, like, yes, it's a lot of shots to put out, but you're not going to win many combats, I don't think. Because if someone charged in with the 8 veteran Gurkhas, I don't think you're going to win that combat. And equally, you're still just putting one pin out. So I think there's better ways to spend 195 points than taking 19 men with a BAR.
Yeah. You could use those points and get an inexperienced infantry section. This also comes as a compulsory 10-man squad, so 70 points. Again, armed with rifles. You can add another 9 men, and one of which can take a BAR.
It's quite limiting that everyone has to start with 10 men, isn't it?
Mm.
It's really going to cause problems if you want to do like dual platoon or anything like that, because you're going to have to take at least 140 points worth of infantry if you do take two inexperienced squads.
However, if we jump to the 10th Motorized Cavalry Brigade infantry section, this is where you get a little bit more flexibility. So these are compulsory 6-man units, either regular for 60 points or veteran for 78. You can add up to 4 additional men, either plus 10 or plus 13 points, depending on regular or vet. You can't take a BAR, but you can take an LMG. We're going to jump to the FAQ and have a look at the Polish motorbike section. So this is a 6-man unit, 90 points regular or 115 points vet. Again, they are armed with rifles. You can take an additional 7 men for the not inconsequential cost of 15 points for regular or 20 points for veteran. One man can have a BAR. And as the name would suggest, they have motorbikes.
So I think we've teased it long enough. What is the unit that everyone has taken Poland in order to run?
So the ones that we all know and love, if you take a Polish army, is the cavalry section.
Yeah.
These are 6 men mounted on horses. They are 90 points for veteran or 72 points for regular. They come armed with cavalry carbines. So they're the ones that you can only fire as pistols when mounted, unless you dismount, and then they're rifles. You can add an additional up to 7 men at 15 points for veteran or 12 points for regular. You can add a BAR. And most importantly, you can equip the entire unit with lances for plus 1 point per man.
Nice.
So this is, if you're thinking of running a Polish army, this is what you're going to take, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. That's the ticket, isn't it?
Obviously, as cavalry, they are tough fighters. And then what the lances do is allow you to have an additional attack in close quarters per man. So not only are you getting tough fighters because you're cavalry, you're getting 2 hits as cavalry per model and tough fighters.
Yeah, you're going to absolutely steamroll most opponents, aren't you?
Yeah, and this is, you know, for players that take Polish armies, it is with the cavalry, and it is obviously building it around, 2-3, depending on how many points you've got, 2-3, maybe 4 sections of cavalry. Yeah,
and how many horses are you taking per squad, Phil?
So you're not going to go 13 because of the sheer footprint, and it makes the squad a big target. I think, 6 veterans hitting twice and with tough fighter, if you can get all 6 into combat, that's very, very tasty. I would probably be looking at 8, I would say.
Yeah, that's my sweet spot.
Yeah, when I've taken cavalry with Japanese, and at the moment I've been playing around with Cossacks and with Germans, it's an 8-man cavalry section because it's not too big. So you can hide it, behind terrain and peeking out so you've got the line of sight for the assault and so on. But you go bigger than that and the footprint just gets too big. And they become a target, more of a target than they already are.
I'm not overly worried about the footprint. For me, it's more the, as you say, you need to get at least 6 men into the combat, which means if they're reaction firing or even you just take a few rounds of shooting against you. So 6 is probably too few for me. 10's too many just because of the points. Mm-hmm. I'd rather than having 4 10-man squads, I think you're better off with 5 8-man squads just for to share the pins out to one extra squad.
Yep.
And also, obviously, your opponent 90% of the time should be hiding behind cover so that it's a simultaneous charge, in which case you're going to want a few extra bodies, because you'll lose one or two of them in the first round of combat, and so you want a couple extra bodies so that they're still a threat after that first combat.
Yes.
You want to be getting at least sort of two good combats out of each unit. Otherwise, you're just trading one unit for one unit, basically.
Yeah, you don't want an assault combat unit, which is only good for one assault.
Exactly, yeah. One thing we didn't mention, actually, on the cavalry brigade, is they can actually take a BAR. And so your six-man squad, the 10th motorized cavalry brigade, the six-man squad, 65 points with a BAR is probably a better shout than 80 points with an LMG. That's added in the FAQ.
Yeah, got it. I've just seen it.
I think that's all the infantry, isn't it?
It is, yep. So we can move on to the infantry support weapons.
Oh, this is the unit I'm going to take all day long.
So your MMG, your normal 35, 50, 65 points for inexperienced regular or vet. We can skip over that one, can't we?
Take it if you want it. Don't take it if you want to win.
Yeah. You've got an anti-tank rifle team, which is, again, the normal points cost. So 21 points in experience, 30 regular, or 39 for vets. You probably might take this because you are slightly limited in terms of anti-tank assets. And I do like an anti-tank rifle. They can be pretty useful. You get a marksman, so rather than a sniper. So this is similar to what you see in sort of partisan lists and the French North Africa list and so on. So single marksman. Doesn't get the minus one because it's not a team weapon. So even though he's on his own, he doesn't get the minus one to hit.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'd rather have a sniper team for the survivability. I think at regular, the extra 10 points is worth it every time.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a shame that they don't have access to it, but it's thematic, isn't it?
It is. And then your last two in terms of the infantry support is your mortars, which is a light mortar team or a medium mortar team. Normal rules, normal points costs, as with any other light or medium mortar team.
And no heavy.
No heavy, no.
I do like a heavy mortar of the three.
Yeah.
No comment.
No comment because it's not available. So.
Yeah. So get over it.
Yeah, get over it. Yeah. Next one.
Artillery.
So you get your light, your medium, and your heavy howitzer. Again, normal points costs, normal number of men. You don't get the option for adding in extra men like you do in some other armies. And you can take a spotter for the medium and the heavy artillery as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing of note, but you are going to see either a medium or a heavy artillery piece purely because of the absence of a heavy mortar for the HE, but B, the AT options.
Well, it's not only that. You want to pair your cavalry with high explosive because the natural enemy of the horse is the house. And so you need something to keep people out of houses because as soon as they go into the house, you can't charge your horses in.
Mm-hmm.
And so by taking, if you did dual platoon with a couple cavalry squads in each platoon with a howitzer, your opponent doesn't really have a choice because they either go in the house, which is a huge risk with a heavy howitzer on the table, or they stand in the field, which is a huge risk when there's horses on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a perfect pairing, the howitzer and the horses.
Well, the other reason that you're going to take your howitzers as well is to force the units down so that your cavalry can charge at them. So, yes, it is to, you know, keep the units outside of the houses so your cavalry can get them in open ground. But also, when you're prepping for a charge, if you can start forcing units down, they're not going to get your reaction fire, and then your cavalry can charge in.
So that's all the howitzers. Do they have any other artillery pieces, Phil?
Yeah, you've got some autocannons. So you've got the Bofors heavy autocannon, so with the 40mm, which is your normal points cost, three man. You've got a light autocannon, which is the FKA WZ-38.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the normal points cost. And you also have, should you want it, the Bofors 37mm light anti-tank gun, which again is the normal cost.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just only has one thing it can do.
Yep.
And even that, it doesn't do great. So it's not a bad include because it's not expensive, but at the same time, it's not one that I tend to include very often.
No, we've said before, I like the Bofors heavy autocannon. Depending on what else I'm taking, I might look at that.
Mm-hmm. Two shots, because the big problem I have with anti-tank weapons in bolt action is the single shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the problems with your 500-point tanks where rolls on the table, it's scary, but then it misses its one shot and it was just, there's nothing for a turn.
Yeah.
So I think that's everything apart from the vehicles, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So if we look at the armoured cars, you have a grand choice of four. So we've got the WZ-34 armoured car, which is 70 points regular. It's armour 7. It has recce. and it has a turret-mounted MMG. Now, you can pimp your ride if you so wish. You can turn it from a wheeled vehicle into a half-tracked vehicle for plus 5 points.
Nah.
You can also replace the turret-mounted MMG with a 37mm low-velocity light anti-tank gun for plus 30 points. So the low-velocity one fires at a penetration of plus 3 and normal range rather than plus 4.
I'm not sure on that one either, to be honest.
No.
Does it round up the... oh, no, you lose one, don't you?
You lose one, yeah, and rather than half. So, yeah,
so it's 2 rather than 3, yeah. Nah, I'm not going to do that. It's too expensive, 100 points.
The next one I think you are going to take, which is the TKS Tankette. So this is 70 points regular. It has a hull-mounted MMG. It is armor value of 7+. It has recce. But what you're going to do is pay an extra 20 points, replace the hull-mounted MMG, and add a hull-mounted light autocannon. And these things are absolutely tiny, and you basically just buzz them around, get into the side, and hit a little light autocannon into the side of a tank.
Yeah, I'm not sold on it, I think. Depending on the rest of my list, I might include that. But 90 points for a light autocannon, I'm not convinced on it on its own. But if I needed a little bit of penetration, then I might throw it in.
Yeah, and I think, to be fair, you probably do. So that's why you see them being taken. Third one is the Taksanka WZ-36, which I love this.
This is what I've been waiting for, to be honest. This is why I've got no enthusiasm for the rest of them.
It is a 3-man, 4-wheeled, horse-drawn cart with a Maxim MMG on the back. It's going to cost you 16 points in experience or 20 points regular, with a rear-facing MMG covering the rear arc. It is a 3+ damage value because it is literally soft skin. And the special rule, just a cart. So the Taksanka moves as a wheeled vehicle. In addition, to represent the vulnerability of the horses, it has been given an unusually low damage value. Every time it suffers one or more pin markers as a result of an enemy attack, it automatically suffers one further pin marker in addition.
Oof, so it's unreliable. You only need a 3 to damage it.
Yeah.
But it is quite fast.
Mm-hmm. And it's only costing you 20 points regular.
And that's why you want to include it, isn't it? Because 20 points, put it in hardcover somewhere. Like, it's still going to be hard to get rid of in hardcover.
Yeah. So the fourth one, which is not in the Armies of France and Allies book, it's in the FAQ, is the WZ-29 Ursus heavy armoured car. So this is going to cost you 90 points regular. It's 7+. It has recce. It's armed with a turret-mounted low-velocity light anti-tank gun, a turret-mounted rear-facing MMG, and a hull-mounted rear-facing MMG. The other thing to note on this one is that it has the special rule, too many jobs, which is effectively the same as the one-man turret rule. Mm-hmm. So to represent this, it's always necessary to make an order test when issuing an advance order, even if the tank is not pinned. And in addition, the vehicle may fire either the main gun or the turret-mounted MMG in the same turn, but not both. Similar to the Japanese tanks, where you've got that rear-facing MMG and forward-facing anti-tank gun or howitzer.
Yeah, so it's basically a low-velocity light anti-tank gun with a hull MMG, presuming, because you can't shoot both the turret weapons, so...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's good. I like it. 90 points regular. I'm going to take it at 108 veteran because if I'm having to take tests to advance, worth it. Again, because I think what I'm going to do with this is outflank it and try and sneak into the side arm or the rear arm of a tank. And so that veteran makes it is worth taking if you're thinking about doing that with this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I like that. I think of the, I don't know, because that cart was pretty tempting. So I'll have to have a think on it. Depends on the whole build, I suppose. Any good tanks?
So here come the big guns. So we start with the 7TP, which is 115 points regular. It has a turret mounted light anti-tank gun with a coaxial MMG, and it's armor 8+. And if you wish, you can replace the single turret with 2 MMG turrets for minus 35 points. But it is also vulnerable. Shots from the side or rear get an additional +1 penetration modifier.
Yeah, but it's armor 8 with 2 MMGs. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
This exists in quite a few lists because my Finns have basically the exact same vehicle. And 80 points for 2 machine guns, as long as you're confident that you've got other stuff to take out tanks or at least to bog them down. This is a great defensive vehicle to put at 2 pins a turn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the second one, very similar, is the Vickers E-Type light tank. And this is 90 points regular for a turret-mounted light anti-tank gun with a coaxial MMG. It is only 7+, though, rather than 8+. And you can replace the turret with 2 MMG turrets of minus 35 points. It also has vulnerable. So for
55
points, you're getting a 7+ vulnerable double MMG little light tank.
55 versus 80. I think I'm going to go for the 55, you know, because that is a real steal. The Finns, I don't think the Finns version has the vulnerable. I'm just going to quickly check. I think the Finns version has 7+ twin machine guns, and I think it comes in at 70 points. And at 70 points, I think it's worth it. And so if I can have it for 55 points, and I just have to be a little bit careful of my sides, I'm going to do that all day long, I think.
Yeah,
the Finns version, 70 points, twin MMG with no vulnerable. So yeah, I'm going to take that 55 points one every time.
So your last three are all French tanks. So you can get the Renault FT, which is 35 points regular for a turret-mounted MMG, armor value 7+. It's got the one-man turret rule, so you need to take your test even on an advance order. And it has the slow, pitifully slow rule, which means it cannot make a double speed run move at all. It can be given a run order, but it moves at its basic speed only.
Oh, I tell you what, I think I do love an FT. I run an FT with my French, and so I actually think I might have spoken too soon saying I'm going to take the Vickers E-Type, and I think I might actually take a veteran FT for 42 points.
Cheaper ships.
Mm-hmm.
You could take the Renault R35, which is 120 points regular. You get a turret-mounted low-velocity light anti-tank gun and a forward-facing hull-mounted MMG. It is 8+ light tank. You can upgrade the low-velocity light anti-tank gun to a normal light anti-tank gun, which will represent an R40 or uprated R35 for plus 10 points. Does get the one-man turret rule. Does get armoured all round, so you don't get the problem with side and rear, but it is slow.
Yeah, how many points was the R40, did you say?
So it's 120 is the base cost, and then plus 10. So 130 points gets you an armor 8 all-round light anti-tank gun with a forward-facing hull-mounted MMG.
Yeah, it's not bad at all, that, is it?
Yeah. And then your final one is your Hotchkiss H35, which is 105 points regular. Again, low-velocity light anti-tank gun and a turret with a coaxial MMG. Armor 8, you can upgrade for an extra 10 points to make it the light anti-tank gun. It's got the one-man turret rule as well.
Fair enough.
And that's your lot. Well, other than transports, and tows are, as you would expect, you can get a truck, which you can add an MMG onto.
Which is good.
Which is good. Don't always see that, to be fair. You can get a car, three-man car. You can get a half-track truck, which you can put 5 men in. You can add a pintle MMG. You can make it bigger, so it can transport 12 men as well.
Yeah, that's armor 7 as well. And so it's like a 250/1 for the Germans. And then you can upgrade it to a 251/1. Is it the 251/1?
So your 5-man is your 250/1, and then your 12-man is your 251/1.
Yeah. And it's probably a bit pricey, if I'm honest, for what it is. But if you're into that sort of thing, have at it.
Mm-hmm. You can take your half-track tractor, which doesn't have an MMG on it, so you're probably not going to be interested.
Nah, it's expensive as well. 44 points, and all you can do is tow a gun. That's a lot of points to just pull a gun out of the table and then hide for 6 turns.
Yeah. You can take your C2P artillery tractor, which is, again, quite expensive for a tow.
Yeah. Armour 7, so it gives you a bit of protection bringing the gun on the table. But again, these artillery tractors, if you're paying 50 points for a unit, that's just going to hide.
Mm. You can pay 45 points for one, which is just going to hide and be open-topped, which is your C7P. The one that is interesting slightly is your Pezinsk 302 field car. 25 points regular, can take 5 men, you can tow light artillery. It's interesting because you can add a MMG on it for plus 15 points. So for 40 points, you obviously lose all transport capability, but you get a little soft-skin armoured car with an MMG.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, you've got your little cart, so I don't know why you need something with an engine. But but if you desperately want a wheeled vehicle with a machine gun, not bad. I mean, they've got so many options of little armoured cars with machine guns that I'm not sure this one has a place. If it kept its transport capability, then I'd be very excited for that one.
And that's it?
Yeah, and they've only got one selector, haven't they?
They have, the Battle of Poland selector.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is fairly standard. It's pretty much you can take one of or more than one infantry unit of everything we just talked about.
Yeah, you can't take cavalry as your mandatory choices, but...
Yes, so it is slightly restricted in that sense. You have to take one of the foot sloggers as your two compulsory units.
And also they have to be one of the big squads as well. These have to be the regular or the inexperienced squad where you're starting with 10 men. And so somewhat limiting the theatre selector there. Mm-hmm. It sort of restricts your builds because you're sort of at least 140 points in before you even start adding the things you want.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, what do you want in your Polish army?
So I think for me, it works best when it's dual platoon and generic.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is I am going to want to take a couple of medium howitzers from the artillery slot. Depending on my points, I'm going to want to take a couple of the MMG tanks. So not the armoured car versions, but the tank versions. So like the Vickers, for example, because I could split fire with my two turrets, stick some pins out. Then I'm going to take the little autocannon tankette in my armoured car slot.
Mm-hmm.
And then with whatever's left, yeah, probably chuck a mortar in as well. And then it's going to be cavalry.
Yeah, I think I'm going to lean very cavalry heavy. And so I might even be tempted to go to heavy howitzers, you know, which is...
Mm-hmm.
A rare sight for me, but I really do want those big hits. If I hit a house, I want the house to fall down, basically.
yeah.
And so I think I'm going to go two heavy artillery. Again, dual platoon generic. Two heavy artillery, loads of horses. Even put my officer on a horse, maybe, so he can keep up with the charge, just so he can make sure the horses keep trundling forward. And then I'm going to be looking at machine guns in my armoured car and tank slots. Mm. So stuff like the Vickers, maybe that 40 points little car, but I think the little cart is probably more my speed. So I'm going to use that to pin units down to bog them down so they can't get out of the way of the horses.
Yeah.
And then my plan with tanks is either just ignore them entirely or once my horses have mopped up the infantry, I'm just going to surround the tank so it can't move. And then the classic sort of stop it, and then if it tries to shoot the horses, they'll wreck you away. That kind of idea, I think.
Mm-hmm. Something to worth considering if you're playing at an event, for example, is check the tournament pack, because I have seen recently a few tournament packs saying that mounted cavalry cannot contest objectives or control. So you might be in a situation where you might want to take some of those veteran motorized cavalry sections who can be your objective grabbers, or you're going to have to think about, okay, I might have, you know, four squads of cavalry, but I might need to dismount them at some point in order to contest or control an objective, which sort of defeats the point of having a really mobile assault cavalry unit.
Yeah, that is a silly rule, isn't it? I'm not a big fan of that at all, because it's not like you're punishing something that someone has paid points for, because cavalry aren't cheap. You're paying 2 points a horse on top of the 13 points for, let's say, a veteran. So they're 15 points a man compared to 10 points.
16 if you stick a big pointy lance in a hand.
Yeah, 16 points for these Polish cavalry. They're not cheap. I don't feel like, yes, they're scary. Yes, they're good. But they're not abusing the game in any way. And so I don't think we need to house rule to try and limit them, because as I was saying there, if I'm putting all my points into cavalry, it's at the detriment to other stuff like anti-tank and stuff like that. And so I don't see why that rule is really necessary, to be honest.
My last question was going to be why we don't see, or not why we don't see, but you know, if they're so good in terms of cavalry, why are we not seeing them all the time at every event? Because they are difficult to play.
Yeah, and I think you've hit the nail on the head there, you know, because I think the two reasons you don't see them is, A, they're a big investment because you've got to buy all those horses.
Yeah.
And so it's not like your other armies where I can just go and buy an infantry box set and then it's sort of £30 for the infantry box set. If I don't like it, they can sit on the shelf. It's £30 I've invested. If you're buying all those horses, that's a lot of money and a lot of time you're committing there, because you're basically painting two models every time.
In fact,
you might actually be painting three models, because if you ever want to disembark them, obviously you need another model for that. And so it is a big financial and a big time investment. And then, as you've said, they're hard to play. And so if you put all that time, money, and effort into it, and then you realize that actually I'm not good at playing this force, that's going to feel like a huge waste. And I think that's probably the big reason why we don't see them as often as Brits. But I think we see them often enough that I think if I was getting into it, what I would do is proxy the models first.
Yeah.
Like, if I was thinking about it, proxy your horses, try out a few games. If they're good, then I'll invest and build it all up and make them look good, because I don't want to put 100 hours into building an army that I never play with, because I realize actually I'm terrible at running horses.
Yeah.
What about you? Why do you think we don't see them often?
Yeah, I think it's exactly for that reason. They are expensive by the time you've bought the models, or, you know, 3D printed, etc. And they're difficult. I mean, I've recently started playing with the Cossacks on horses with my Germans. I've played with Japanese cavalry in the past. And it's not just as straightforward as going point them at a unit and charge.
Mm.
You do have to think about how you maximise that charge. And it's basically by either forcing the unit down or sticking a load of pins on them first, so that if they do reaction fire, you're not getting your horses shot up on the way in.
Yeah. And I think, actually, funnily, I think a lot of people are very risk averse. And so they really don't like losing units. But here you have to be very aggressive a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, what you've just said there makes it an even more interesting thought, because you have to be really aggressive, but you have to know when not to be.
Yes.
And I think for a lot of players, they're not aggressive enough with the cavalry.
Mm-hmm.
And then for those players who do try it the first time and just go, I'm just going to be as aggressive as possible, they'll lose equally. And so you have to be sort of 95% aggressive, where 5% of the time you're being a little bit coy. The other 95% of the time, you're just charging straight at the enemy. And if you lose a squad, you lose a squad. It's not the end of the world, because you've got another four squads of horses backing them up.
Go back to an earlier point you made about tanks, where you were saying you just might ignore them. To be fair, if you've destroyed your opponent's non-tank units, it doesn't really matter how many tanks they've got.
Yeah, exactly.
And just by playing ultra-aggressive at the right time, if you can wipe out enough of their units, it doesn't matter if they've got an armor 9 tank running around that you can't do much with.
Yeah, and even then, if you've got a squad of 8 horses and you get the charge on the tank, there is actually a good chance of doing something to it.
Mm-hmm.
You might not wreck it, but there's a good chance, because, I mean, 4 of them hit, so that's strength 4. If it's arm 8 or 9, you're looking for a 4 or 5 to do any damage. And then obviously superficial, but if you manage to immobilize or set it on fire, the tank is not doing anything this turn now.
Yeah.
Or if it is, it's just sort of shooting the horses that charged it, and then it's stuck now in a corner of the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so actually, that's how I would be dealing with them, just by charging them with the horses once I've wrapped up the rest of the army.
And without going into a cavalry tutorial podcast, you can obviously use that tactic to bounce your cavalry forward. You assault a tank, unsuccessful, or even if you are successful, and then you can bounce off it again.
Yeah. Equally, on the other side of the tutorial, the how to counter that is you put your Stuart on ambush. Those horses charge it, they're gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. that's the way you counter the cavalry, I think. You put yourself on ambush and just try to whittle them down. Because a bit like the Gurkhas, there's a minimum strength where they're still, like, they're definitely going to win the combat. And once you get them below sort of 5 models, once you're on sort of 3s and 4s, it's a risky charge then.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we've covered the polls in all the detail we need to there.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, we haven't missed anything obvious. I think we gave some nice little tactical discussion around them as well. Anything you want to add to the episode, Phil?
Just to say that, you know, for the Polish players out there, let us know how you get on with them. What's working for you? What the learning curve is like? I think it's a fairly steep learning curve. But then once you've got, you know, kind of mastery, or certainly a really good idea of them, they can be incredibly powerful. And we've seen that in the past, haven't we? We've seen, you know, major events where people have you know, won or come top 3 in major events with, you know, Polish cavalry forces.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, thank you for listening. Please do leave us a review.
Please like, share, subscribe.
And it's ta-ta for now from me.
And it's ta-ta for now from him.